Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink. This is April 1st, 2010, and this is the Christogenia Euro Fellowship call.
Right. That's
Hello,
all
Matthew. How are you doing?
Days.
Yes.
This is All Fool's Day. Duke
every
Alva's
day is All Fool's Day.
We're stolen away.
every day is full of fools. Hello, Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. Bruce, your connection is noisy.
I'm sorry. Let me see if I can fix that. Oh, that better? I'm sorry.
That's much better. How you doing? I just didn't want to leave you stranded there.
No, yeah. Well, we have some European folks on the line.
Yes. Matthew's about to tell us what he thought of the latest Ensign Messenger from the BIWF. They're printing some unseemly material, evidently.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with what that is.
The British Israel World Federation. They're the parent organization of all, probably of all Israel identity organizations, can trace their awakening back to the early British Israel people, but the British Israel World Federation has basically taken a left turn into Judeo-Christianity and become no worse than any other facet of this, no better than any other facet of the beast.
Oh, yeah.
They may as well be the beast. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah. All it takes is a little leaven, and leaven's the whole lump.
That's it. So, Matthew, what did they print?
Just the
things that you felt were wrong or that took offense to. I mean,
well, it's six pages. It's only six pages. Holy country. Ridiculous.
Is that all the Ensign Messenger is at six pages now?
No, unfortunately, no. There are some more beautiful pages with useful material from Australia and even from Northern Ireland. Another one from Alan Campbell. It's really good. And this idiot, really an idiot. I'll just have the few last lines. They are the most important of all. Yeah. In closing this ultra brief study, let me put on record the fact that I owe a great depth of gratitude to the evangelist and author Ted Wieland, whose book, Eve, Did She or Did She Not, proved much of the material of this study. And in doing so, I would strongly encourage anyone interested in further studying this subject to acquire a copy from Mr. Wieland's book. Amen. No.
It seems to me that the British Israel World Federation is taking last gropes in trying to defend itself against two sea lions, trying to defend its position. That's a resort.
Maybe.
The printing of this article seems like a resort to me. That statement seems like a last resort.
Well, and also to recommend that particular book of Wieland's Eve, Did She or Did She, Didn't She? I mean, that's a direct refutation of two seed line, isn't it?
Right, and it's a bunch of lies, and Wieland is a clown, I wish he'd debate with me. I wish he would debate two seed line with me.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's interesting to have the editor's note at the beginning of it. That could be of interest, huh? We are printing this article for the sake of clarification. Readers frequently ask in the Ensign Trust, subscribed to the belief that Eve had a sexual encounter with Satan, thus producing a race of people sired by the Prince of Darkness. That's their note. Might be enough.
Well, that's, yeah, that they have embraced the Jews. They've done it since the days of Edward Hine.
Yeah.
That I see Edward Hine as the Rothschild takeover of British Israel. That's exactly the way I see it, whether that's right or wrong. But it was Edward Hine who started all of the British Israel animosity against Germany, an animosity that Sharon Turner and John Wilson would not have agreed with by any means.
Yeah.
They understood that the Anglo-Saxons and the Germans were kindred. And Edward Hein, I think that changed all that. I don't know if there's anybody before him that wrote the things he did about the Germans, but he certainly changed all that. I think Clifton exposed a lot of that in his recent series of articles on Hein's book.
Yeah.
And it was Hein that reinforced the notion that the Jews were Judah, which is absolutely ridiculous. It flies in the face of the New Testament.
Certainly it is.
And anybody that believes the Jews are Judah denies half of the New Testament.
Yeah, I would say so.
And history, it's blatantly anti-historical propaganda.
Yeah.
When we've been at war with these people, knowingly or unknowingly, for 7,000 years or thereabouts, you know, to deliberately mislabel, misidentify the enemy is nothing short of treason.
That's exactly right. It is treason. It's absolutely treason. That's exactly what it is, because they've let that enemy come into our lands, take over our economic system. Instead of standing against the enemy, they've coddled the enemy. It is treason. And the British Israel World Federation is probably, you know, I blame them for where we are today. And not that a lot of others don't deserve the blame, but British Israel in the 1800s, 1900s, or, you know, very early 1900s, they had an opportunity to keep learning, and instead they let themselves be co-opted by the enemy. And when American Christian Identity continued to learn and uncover the truth, I think British Israel, that they were comfortable where they were and stayed there.
That's
the way I look at it. I don't blame all Bretons for that, of course, but that core group, that core group should have known better. So I think today the people that put out the Ensign Messenger are just the heirs of that group that have continued to deny the truth.
I think the good thing about all this is that what is known as British Israel in this country is splintered into very small and insignificant groups whose overall numbers or membership is, again, altogether, it's probably doesn't exceed several hundred. It really is so small. Therefore, if we're going to target, and we are doing, we're targeting people who are new to this entirely, not those who've closed their eyes on the truth. And really, we've got everything to play for.
Yeah.
Well, if they're that small, they get a lot more press than they deserve.
they are that small, because with the particular publication that Bavaria Man is talking about, they send out multiple copies to one person, and so the overall number of people who actually receive that is quite small.
I didn't know that.
And BIWF, well, they had that enormous bequest made to them, which went into, more than £1 million, and that has kept them well afloat. It may suggest a presence that they don't really have.
Well, you can
do a lot with £1 million, I'm sure.
Yes, you can fly
to Canada. You can fly all over the place looking busy, can't you? And not really achieving a great deal.
I saw that Canadian, British Israel World Federation radio program and website, and the front man looks like a Jew. In fact, I would swear he was. I'm trying to think of his name, and I can't really get it off the tip of my tongue. But
well, they have a very close relationship with Yair Davidi, and they consult him on a great number of things. The Jew, Davidi. I think I've got
the
front his name
man
right.
Seems to be a guy named Peter Salimi, and he looks like a Jew. And I'd swear he was if I met him.
Right. I don't know.
It could be.
Swarthy and
it's all possible.
Yair Davidi is a man that should get absolutely no respect from anybody in Christian identity.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even pay attention to him. Oh, and Judith, XCon 83 is in the forum. He's almost a neighbor of yours. I think he's in Scudder's Field, or I don't know. He's like an hour from
in where?
In
where?
In England.
Sorry, in where? Which town?
Scudder's Field seems to be familiar, but I'm probably wrong. Maybe he'll type it in.
Please type it in, XCon, as to where you are.
I know I looked it up on Google Maps when he told me where he was, and it was 60 minutes from you.
Oh, great. Oh, that's good, because we're so thin on the ground.
Right. I just thought I'd let you know that. I'm telling on him.
Thank you.
Right. I feel like I'm telling on him now. Hello, Betty. Hello, Betty. How you doing?
Oh, hello. I'm through to you on the telephone, but I haven't got you on my computer.
Well, I'm looking at you on my computer. I mean, Dorcas is in the forum.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, Dorcas, you must have that just associated with your I'm sorry, you're not in the forum. You just have that associated with your phone number.
I see.
So your name appears in a list. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do now. Shall I start again and try and get in?
Dorcas, the easiest way I find is going to Christo Ghania website.
Yes.
And then pulling down the audio menu, it says European Forum call. So click on that.
Yes, I've got that. I've been on that. But they won't accept my password. I'll try again.
Well, don't give them a password. Pretend you're a guest. And then I think you've just pressed one or something. It tells you what to do.
Yeah.
If the password is creating
I'll
problems.
Join as a guest then.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got it here now.
Well, I see Chris is here.
Okay.
Sussex Man is here.
Yeah, he's also there. And now I got the Skype in between. This is not what I want. Yeah. Let me see.
Got it now. I've got the chat room now. I still connected? Oh, yeah.
Yes,
you're there. Yeah. Oh, you're listening.
Oh, hang on. Sorry.
Can you mute your computer speaker? Betty, please find a way to mute your computer speaker.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, or at least turn the volume down all the way or something.
Yes, I've done that.
Thank you. Well, I went for a I purchased a virtual private server that's in the middle of being set up right now. And when I get this virtual private server set up, it'll be like Christogenia having its own server. It'll be Christogenia.net, and it will soon there'll be our own voice capability on it for up to 512 people.
Oh, what good news!
Wow, you are so clever.
So we will hopefully it'll all be VoIP. There'll be no telephone involved. You'll be able to get if you have a headphone, a headset and a microphone. You'll be able to get in right on your computer. No more telephones. All VoIP. We've tested it for a couple of people. I'm going to hopefully be able to test it in about 2 weeks.
Will you test it to make sure it works for us over here?
Well, I'm sure it will. I'm going
to,
in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be able to send out a mailing asking people to download the client software. It's a piece of client software that has to be downloaded. It's not very mm-hmm. large and installed on your computer. And you go mm-hmm. in and I'll give you the connection parameters to the server and we try it out.
Wow.
Okay, it's a good idea.
Wonderful.
And my 8-week-old puppy just made it down the basement stairs on his own for the first time.
Do tell us about him. I heard he was on the third step from the top the other night.
Oh, yes, yeah, screaming and yelping and afraid to walk down any further.
Well, what kind is he? What sort?
He's a chocolate lab. He's a chocolate lab.
Oh, how lovely.
There's pictures of him online. I have pictures of him at williamfink.net.
Oh, I'll go there and have a look.
Yeah, it's under family photos, okay. under recent photos. And
okay.
You can see the little brown puppy with the blue
eyes. So how long have you had him? Just a week or so?
We've had him since Saturday. He's, I had to drive an hour and a half to get him because the people had him for a very good, reasonable price. And they wanted, some places wanted $500-$600 here for a dog. And $400 without papers. And we found one an hour and a half in the middle of farmland for $300 with papers.
So what's he called?
Samson.
Oh.
He's a teddy bear right now, but he'll grow up into a Samson, I'm sure.
Yeah. How lovely.
So he's my new companion.
You'll get your exercise. You'll get exercise.
Oh, I could use some exercise. I spend way too much time sitting here in front of the computer, believe me.
Yeah.
Well, they're merciless trainers.
Usual.
That's okay. Yeah. And I can run once I get back in shape. I haven't run in a year and a half now. It's terrible.
Mm. And it's something that you can't not do, isn't it? It forces you into action when you've got a dog, you know.
Right, I need it too, believe me.
Yeah.
Come rain, sleet, or snow.
Yeah.
Well, Judith, how are you feeling? I know you were a little under the weather when you saw your grandson, and you know the same thing happened to me in February when I went to see my grandkids. I came home and came home with a bug and laid in bed sick for 2 days.
So?
Yeah, I just felt so ill, and I've done something I don't normally do, but I took a couple of painkillers an hour or so ago because my throat is still bothering me. But I'm recovering.
Well, you sound good.
Okay.
But hopefully you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
You said I got an email from you that, and I'm going to read it. I do have some questions for this evening, one of which you may need advance notice of. Well, I didn't get it, but that's okay. And it's this arising from 2 Samuel 21. Yahweh confirms the famine in the land was due to the blood guilt of Saul against the Gibeonites. Sacrificing the blood of Saul's posterity appears to satisfy Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yet when Abel was killed by Cain, Yahweh did not require his blood.
No,
and in fact gave him added 7 times protection.
Yeah.
I suppose blood contaminated by a Nakash would not be acceptable. And I don't quite look at it that way. I think that 7 times, I think that 7 times protection is to ensure us that there would be a seed of the serpent throughout that we cannot deny.
Yahweh
would make sure, because of our sin, Yahweh would make sure that this serpent seed would be around to punish us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just seems so wrong that Cain should get off lightly.
Well, right, but, you know, they're not getting off lightly because this world is nothing.
Yeah.
And that's all they have is this world.
It is.
And it's vanity.
Yeah.
It's
transient.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
Where we are being prepared for something much greater. Saul was punished. Well, let's look at why David was rewarded. Why was David rewarded? Because in everything, he sought the will of Yahweh. He sought the will of God in everything.
Yeah.
It's all about God's supremacy. It's about man submitting himself to God's word. Our fall was the the transgression of that word.
Yeah.
So David, constantly seeking to, even when he failed, he still realized that he did fail and that God's word is true and sought the will of God. Now Solomon, and David was made the greatest king ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His son Solomon witnessed all of this, went off into his own, got caught up in his own vanity and his own wisdom and his own arrogance, and thought he could do what he did. So we see a sharp decline in David's monarchy. And the posterity are punished or followed after him in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just seems so unfair on Rispa's sons and Michael's sons that they should be paying the penalty for something their forebears committed.
Well, right, but we have to think about our actions because the children suffered for the sins of the father.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Saul...
But it was a very cold-blooded way of doing it, wasn't it?
Right. Well, we're on Yahweh's time schedule and not on our own. I mean, it could take 5,000 years for something to work
that's
out.
True. That's true.
And that's a day to him, right? And Saul had every opportunity to be a David.
Yeah.
And he sought after his own ways instead. And he and his children are punished for it. Mm-hmm. And the Gibeonites is an example. There were a few things Saul was punished for. But the Gibeonites, in the scripture it says that even though the Gibeonites deceived the children of Israel, that the children of Israel had made a vow to them, and because they uttered the vow must be fulfilled. That shows us the importance of the keeping of our word, even if our word is unrighteous.
Yeah, I've always found that one difficult.
Well, that's basically what it boils down to.
You know, if somebody deceived me in a contractual agreement...
Yeah.
I would find it very difficult to wish to keep that.
Well, right, but the children of Israel uttered the word, and Yahweh held them to it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was unrighteous, they shouldn't have been so stupid as to make such a deal with the enemy in the first place.
That's right, yeah.
So part of their punishment was that they were to fulfill it, and they were explicitly told that. And that I believe, is part of their punishment for making the deal in the first place. And Saul violated it, so Saul paid the penalty.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's poor, but it is so.
Yeah, you know, the children of the children of the bastards, or the children of the enemy, that they're to be preserved because Yahweh wants them here to teach us a lesson. The Canaanites were left in the land to teach the children of Israel to make war.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
If there was no enemy, I mean, this is about our learning and our, as Paul explained, our tutelage. And if there's no enemy, there's no learning. If there's no taste of good and evil to experience both good and evil. And that was the punishment. That was the punishment, part of the punishment in Adam's fall. Look, the man now knows good, has experienced good and evil. Where before that, he only experienced good. If we don't come to know evil also, and we can't do that without the children of the devil in the world, but our Christian obligation is to seek the good in spite of the evil. And not to be deceived, and not to fall for the sins, the tricks that our first parents fell for.
Yeah.
Yes, I can see all that. Yes.
Yeah, we have to learn it in the hard way.
Right. So we have to look at why the devil is in the world, to understand why Cain is protected, to understand why they're so successful. And David wrote all the time in the Psalms. that the children of the wicked were so, they were always wealthy and successful and lived so long. And but that's their nature, to seek the things of this world, and they do very good at it, much better than us.
Yeah, but that's all they get and no more.
Well, exactly. And we're here to learn that. And we're here to learn what life is in rebellion from Yahweh, in rebellion from God.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes, and while ever we maintain his laws, we have that preservation, his preservation.
Well, right.
In the midst of these adversaries.
Right. When we learn as individuals to seek the will of God and not our own self-gratification and our own will, then we're rewarded for that. There's no doubt.
No.
The rewards are probably not going to be material. But, you know, we're not going to be all be as rich as David. David is a great example.
Yeah. But we could get another type of riches, and that's much better and more interesting as what we have now. So we have to wait for it. We have to do all that for it.
Right, exactly. Our real reward is in the next world, not in this world.
Oh, yeah.
But to seek his will and do his laws means that we'll have his shelter.
Yeah.
The full armor of Yahweh.
But as far as I know or informed about, anybody may object it, is it also necessary for us, probably for us, that when we are transformed and improved and we learn a lot and it will take a lot of time, etc., etc., then we will be even be ready for the universe and to go into the universe and do even more? That's what they told me. If that's right, okay. Any objection is right. He's welcome.
Well, I was taught him worldwide, you know, Mr. Armstrong felt that the church was being taught by the Bible and they were the first resurrection people, that they would be the teachers of the...
had a futuristic view of the world in a lot of ways, and that first restoration has already taken place. That word doesn't necessarily mean a return from the dead.
Okay.
No, I've understood that since I've...
Well, I understand. Yeah. In Revelation 25, I did a whole program with Clifton on this. And in Revelation 20, verse 5, where it says the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were over, that is not in any of the original manuscripts.
Yeah. Oh!
And that's what we were all taught.
Well, right, but you can take that line and scratch it out. That there was a commentary on the Revelation written by a medieval monk named Andreas of Caesarea. And Andreas of Caesarea, his version of the Revelation has that line. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were over. But that line is not found. It's not found in any manuscripts before Andreas of Caesarea. And it's very clear. It's very clear that that line is his notes that ended up in the text.
Yeah.
It can be, even most of the majority text manuscripts of the Textus Receptus do not contain that line.
Yeah,
oh, good to know.
We were taught, you know, that after the 1,000-year millennial period, that the second resurrection would come.
Well, I've done two programs on this. I did one program on the 999, you know, the September 9th thing, and I did another program with Clifton on Revelations 20 in particular. And the 1,000 years began when Christianity became the state religion of the nations of Europe, and usury was banned, and the Jews were not able to hold any political office. And Jews were not able to hold Christians as slaves, and all usury was forbidden, and the Jews were excoriated for those reasons from Christianity.
Yeah.
And that was the first restoration. That's all Revelations 25 should say.
Yeah.
Revelation 20, verse 5 should only say, and this is the first restoration.
Yeah.
The restoration of God's kingdom on the earth. And for 1,000 years, I mean, we had fights and we had wars, but basically for 1,000 years, the Jews did not rule over any Christians.
No,
until 1,000 years after it was Theodosius II in the 6th century who had passed the final laws that cast the Jews into the pit against Jews holding office and against Jews being able to loan money to Christians at interest. Years later, we had the De Medicis get into the Catholic Church, become popes, and they were a banking family, and the Catholic Church lifted the restrictions on usury under the De Medici popes in the early 1500s.
1500? Is that early?
And that let Satan out of the pit. Because after the De Medicis did it, Calvin followed.
Yeah.
And after Calvin, there was Cotton Mather in New England.
Yeah.
And they were all the leading, in their time and place, they were all the leading theologians, and they all lifted the restrictions on usury. And that let Satan out of the pit.
I've come to understand that. I've had Bernard Compray's position. But the other thing Mr. Armstrong taught was about the two witnesses. You see, all the teaching has really been quite wrong all those years. They're all waiting for the two witnesses to appear, and where they will be killed. You know, they've taken these words literally.
Well, right. I believe the two witnesses are Israel and Judah. And the guarantee that we were not going to be killed and rather were exalted to heaven happened during the Reformation. When the Reformation, even though the Reformation wasn't perfect, it stopped it sealed the fact that we were going to be able to arrive at the truth eventually. And that the church which was run by the beast at the time was not going to be able to suppress us. That's what
That's right.
That we would break free of the control of the Pope.
Of the Popes, that's right.
Do you think that Simon Magus was the first Pope?
No, I think that's all that's all fancy invented by people who don't know anything about history. There were 16 bishops of Rome. The first 16 bishops of Rome were all martyred. They were all killed. So there's no there's no connection to any bishop of Rome from the Catholic Church because they killed them all. When Constantine decriminalized Christianity, basically then you have your opportunists crawling out of the woodwork. The political opportunists start to usurp it. And by the time when Eusebius wrote that certain bishops of Rome in his time were already trying to claim the title Pope. But all the other Christian bishops rejected that and basically told them to screw off. However, by the time of Justinian, the idea got into Justinian's courts, and Justinian made a decree that the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, would be the Pope and would be have authority over all the other Christian assemblies. But that didn't come into being until 500 years after Simon Magus. There's no connection between the two.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's with the time of Justinian that politics definitely became a much larger component in the leadership of Christian churches than religion.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen until after 530 A.D. And the power of the papacy as we know it didn't really begin to consolidate itself until, you know, it took another 100 years with Gregory, or close to it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's amazing how it's taken so long for this history to come forward. You know, we're going to take so many turns looking for these things.
Well, there's a lot of people that just make statements that sound comfortable and sound sweet, and they write little papers on them and people fall for them.
Yes.
But they don't always hold up to the facts.
No.
We are going to have a on coming Sunday. What you were talking about exactly for coming Sunday at the Eli show, because who is it? The Jonathan Gray is coming.
Jonathan Williams. What's his name? I'm sorry.
Gray.
Jonathan Gray. Thank you. He's coming back. I won't.
Jonathan
Gray. Got stuff to do. I'll take that opportunity to go do some work. I got a lot of research to do for the Sunday night program this week anyway.
Okay.
I got to pull a lot of excerpts from Mein Kampf that I want to elucidate. We're going to revisit some of that.
That's another point. I mean, Eli, he doesn't count the equinox day. He says that's a marker day, but it can't be a marker day because the equinox in the autumn is the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of that equinox. Well, they're all high holy days. And I think he's wrong in that, you know. And also, he doesn't take into consideration Joshua, his long day, which added another day onto our year, and also Ahaz's sundial went down.
Well, this
10
is why
paces, which caused us to have a leap year. None of that has been addressed.
What you're doing is you're elucidating why I don't get involved in calendrical disputes. Because
well, I understand
there's
that.
An endless series of arguments centered on the calendar.
Mm.
We'll never arrive at one that everybody's happy with. Now, I think that I believe that that Ken Lent and then EY probably have the best presentation on the matter. And I believe the calendar was solar. And I believe the calendar was solar simply because it was an agricultural calendar.
Yeah.
And it has to be consistent. And the Jewish lunar calendar swings wildly. It swings from year to year by a month.
Like a lunatic.
And that, right, like a lunatic. That can't possibly be a sound agricultural calendar.
No, well, I agree. Yeah. It's just a day out here and there.
Well, what I'm saying is that we have to have something that's consistent, and we're never, ever going to all agree on every little detail. It's not possible.
No.
Yeah.
But the Lent James calendar, if you want to call it that, is at least consistent and based on some sort of reason, and we can it's probably the best shot that's out there, I think. Yeah, you know, I don't agree with either of them in their entirety, but I realize that the disputes are going to be endless. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about that? Well, what about? Did they really have the what was the first day of the year on the day of the solstice of the equinox, or was it on the next day? Because you wouldn't know it was the first day of the year until the day that the equinox happened.
No,
there's always going to be confusion.
That's why it's got to be based on that.
That there's always going to be able to, that somebody is always going to be able to raise a logical debate to throw a monkey wrench into the works. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it. And I think that I have as much insight as anybody, but that's the way
I
look
at it. But if we don't voice our feelings or what we understand that we've learned as truth. You just can't sit back and say nothing. You've got to voice your disagreement. Otherwise, everyone thinks you're going along with, you know, with their premise.
That is the only reason
I sort of voice what I feel and what I've kept for years now. Not through Mr. Armstrong. I had to come out of him because I could never work out when they were keeping Pentecost. Year after year, it used to puzzle me until I came across another option, and it all slotted into place and was quite logical. So I've always kept that. But
you believe it's quite logical, but somebody else will have a different opinion. And they'll say, what about this or what about that?
Do you agree that we do have to make a statement of where we're coming from? Otherwise, if one is just silent, everyone thinks that you're accepting
it. Well, the best statement is in Colossians chapter 2. Let no one judge you on feast days or Sabbaths.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best statement, and that's scriptural. Because there's always going to be an argument, Betty. I'm sorry. There's no way.
Yeah,
you could have something that's worked out perfectly logical in your mind, and I understand.
Yeah.
And it'll seem like everything's fit into place, and there's some part of scripture or some something somebody's going to be able to point at and say, well, what about that?
Yeah.
And that's just what we have to live with. We have to learn to live with that.
Yes. Well, I do agree about that. I could never understand
the sense of the feast of booths in this northern latitude of somebody going out and living outside. It's just not appropriate.
Well, you know something? It probably doesn't really have to be conducted in tabernacles.
Yeah, I would say so.
In this modern day and age. I mean, it's quaint and it's rustic and it's nice, but I wouldn't require it. If somebody said, I'm going to have a feast of tabernacles and we're going to meet in this hall, I'd say, well, all right, I'll go. I mean, I would.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it has to be in a tent. It has to be out. No, I wouldn't force that on anybody. It's the gathering that's more important. It's the fellowship
and being
with each other and enjoying each other's company that's more important. It's the edifying that's more important.
The modern take on that is people go to a resort or a hotel and all the brethren meet together.
Well, right, and that's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
I wouldn't tell anybody that it has to be intense down by the seashore or something. I mean, if the weather's nice, fine, but that, I don't think it's a requirement.
Not in October.
Not in October, no, certainly not.
Right, in Norway, that would be a little...
Yeah, in Norway, it's kind of maybe. They will be lost.
Yeah, I wouldn't require the tent thing. I think it's crazy. Anybody that does is trying to be a Pharisee.
We
have to watch Phariseeism, you know? But we have to avoid the Phariseeism.
Yeah.
And if I came to your house, Betty, and you were celebrating the feast of the Passover 2 days before Ken went, because that's what you believed, I would just go along with it, because I'm in your house.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's what's important. If I went to Judith's house and she wanted to celebrate her Sabbath on a Sunday, I'm not going to beat her over the head. I'm in her house. She's my sister. I'm going to celebrate the Sabbath on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Otherwise, you're worrying about the feast days. That's correct.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's more important to put your brethren first. And when you're in their house, you do what they do. I mean, there's certain things that they do that maybe you shouldn't. I mean, I'm not advocating eating pork just because your brother eats pork. That's a direct violation of the law as far as...
Violation, yeah.
And he could go eat all the pork he wants, but I'm not going to... I'm going to tell him, look, you better get me a piece of chicken or something.
Yeah,
or an egg.
Right.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. Well, and if you have two of be sisters, the one on the one day and the other on the other day, then you better rush over to the tomb, because then you have the celebration twice. Not too bad.
Yeah, right. Twice is good, right?
Yeah.
You get to eat two whams. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good dinner time. But I hear Chris as well. I hear nothing. Oh, yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah. My microphone is open.
Well, I got a few questions about the Passover, and I made my little mailing just to tell people that this is a reasonable guide, not to tell people that this is exactly right.
I read that today.
Yeah.
I do understand that. And really, it's getting used to being with people with differing views and taking them on board. I mean, in worldwide, you all had to go along the party line. You know what I mean?
Well, right. And the idea is that there's things we can't disagree on.
I don't believe
we can disagree on the divinity of Yahshua Christ,
on
the truth of the seed of the serpent.
No.
Some things that we cannot disagree on. However, there's a lot of things that we will disagree on that we should not beat each other up with.
I absolutely agree.
Because there's things that can be demonstrated, and then there's things that can't be proven. That we can't prove.
No.
And we have to realize that there's some things that we just aren't going to know. And that's humility.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
That's humility. When I admit that there's things that I can't possibly know, no matter, you know, that I'm just, I can't prove and I can't, I shouldn't try to convince everybody of.
No.
Oh, yeah. Right.
No. I think it's healthier, actually. You know, one can voice their view about things. It does, you know, that is a healthy thing.
Right.
Mm. Mm.
But then there's the people who try to make up their own Bible, and those people I'm kind of hard on.
Yes, absolutely.
That's too far, that's correct,
Well, yeah, right. And people, I don't know, they think I'm too assertive sometimes and that I'm going to take their heads off, but I tell them, just don't make up your own Bible and I'll listen to anything. So that, I think, should be the rule. The Scripture is the regulator. But we don't know the Scripture doesn't tell us everything.
There are some things. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We have to make the best of it as far as we can.
Right, and putting our brethren first is most important.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what else can we talk about today? I know Sussex Man's been awfully quiet.
Yeah, Chris.
I was listening to your chat. Sorry I came in late. I was out doing a bit of gardening. So
that's okay. We're not going to scold you. The gardening's important.
I forgot what the time was. I did hear you mentioning, when I did log in, something about BIWF, and I just wondered if it was in reference to their latest magazine where they sent out, they got an article, the Israel Identity Haplogroup issue.
Right.
Did you get that, Matthew?
Yeah. We started
they're trying to say that the genes are different from the other 10 tribes. Well, they see the Jews as being all the Jews being Benjamin, Levi, and Judah. And they say because they've been separated a lot longer, that's why they're DNA, their haplogroups are different because they've been in the Middle East longer.
And that was in where did you read that one?
This was in the latest magazine. Yeah.
Whose haplogroups? I'm sorry, I missed something. Whose haplogroups are different? Oh, okay. That's how they're answering the fact that the Jews and the Englishmen can't possibly be related. That's absolutely incredible, because it's long been established, I think, that geography does not change your haplogroup.
No, certainly not.
I'm just reading a bit here. It says the Jews who are from the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and they quote Ezra 1:5, have been separated for 3,000 years from the 10 tribes. The Jews were in the Middle East for much longer than the departed Northern Kingdom tribes. The male DNA Y chromosomes of the Jews is close to that of groups who have dwelt in the Middle East for an extended period, such as the Kurds, Turks, Armenians, and to a lesser degree, the Arabs.
So it has nothing to do with them all being Canaanites?
Oh, no, no.
I mean, first, a lot of the Jews in England had been there for since the 1200s or longer than that.
Oh, yes. In fact,
and before they were in Palestine. Before that, they were in Amsterdam. And before that, they were in Spain. And some of those Jews haven't been in Palestine since Roman times. I mean, come on, look at history.
Sure.
But see,
the
Jews come from the haplogroups J1 and J2, which are completely different from from our groups.
Well, right. Because they're the Canaanites and Edomites of the Bible. They're not Israelites at all.
That's right.
And that's it just proves. I would love a copy of that article. I really would. If somebody could scan that
I would love
that, because I think I might write something up about that. That needs to be addressed. It's buffoonery. They're clowns. They're turning themselves into circus characters. By defending their false position on the Bible and on history.
It started, I think, at because Alan Patterson done a critique on it at their conference in Carlisle. This was back, I think, October last year, where they were complaining that Wikipedia was saying that the Jews were no way related to Western Europeans. So they were trying to counteract that argument. So probably for once, Wikipedia got something right.
Yes, they did. And I was happy when they scolded BIWF for that. From Wikipedia's viewpoint, it disproves identity. But from my viewpoint, it proves it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't prove the BIWF version of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Chris, which page did you read it?
What?
It's page 24 and 5.
What I read out now, wait a minute, I'll put my glasses on.
24, 25.
But we're talking about the Covenant Nations magazine.
Yeah.
Which is the one that BIWF produced.
Okay.
25.
This is that expensive glossy magazine, which must cost about £5 a copy.
Yeah. I thought it was in the Ensign, so I opened it up. I said, I haven't seen that.
Oh, no, not Ensign.
Now I know. Okay, that's all right. Well, then I'm interested.
Oh, so you didn't get a copy from the... I thought you were on the BIWF mailing list, Matthew.
No. Because I have to pay and I don't have the money. That's all.
Well, I don't pay anything, but they send it to me still.
Well, lucky you.
Well, those Assyrians, they got to pay.
Yeah.
Those Assyrians over in Germany, they got to pay.
Yeah. I don't want to have something free. I know what the costs are of these kind of booklets and magazines, etc. So I want to pay for it. I need to have the payment. I just got the bill today, €1,500 for the hospital. So it's quite expensive, all these jokes. Fortunately, a part of it I'll get back from the insurance, but never mind.
You see, in the
pay. It wouldn't have cost you a penny.
No, but he'd still be waiting for the operation.
Yeah, that's right.
It depends which doctor you go to.
He might be scheduled in 2013 or something.
Now we get instantaneous help. This is correct what they do here. But therefore we have to pay an awful amount of money. At the moment it's about 35% of our monthly income is going straight to the health organization. Therefore I have a good treat. So I may not complain. But so far so good. Except that I, a few days ago, I had the same feeling again. It started up again to raise up the heart, but I could suppress it. And since that time, I'm still okay. I have the whole under control right now.
So, well, it seems like real soon we're going
to
have...
We don't need to worry.
We're going to have Britain's medical system here real soon. It seems like we're headed right there.
No, yeah, it's not the same at all.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Judith?
You've got Obamacare, haven't you?
Yeah, that might be a step. That I think that might be somewhere in between the system the British have and the system that Lenin had.
Our system isn't that bad.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, we're headed.
I mean, it's just too generous, and a lot of people take advantage of it. You know, when an immigrant can come here. In 2002, be dumped by her husband or partner, whatever he was, and then change her gender on the NHS and have all those costly operations in order to take bits off and add things on. You know, I think the bill for this particular transvestite, whatever she was £60,000. I mean, all that was on the NHS.
Wow, I would have done that for $20. That's crazy that you can come as an immigrant and just get a sex change operation like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of immigrants come and they know to go straight to a doctor and register. And once they've done that, they can get all sorts on the national health. And then they go back to their own country, whatever it was, wherever it was.
Well, when things like that happen, you know, Satan's in charge. I mean,
yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
I did feel that the American health thing was the same as Britain's in the way that they're just working for the pharmaceutical companies. And it's a way of poisoning everybody and getting the immunizations going, and I feel that's on a par with what we've got here.
The medical mafia is omnipresent throughout Western medical healthcare.
Mm.
I mean, they'll be part of whatever system is being imposed.
Mm.
Well, Judith, if you don't mind, I'm going to send down Rudolph. I'm going to send him your email. I'll send it through the email. Or through Skype to him or something. I'll send him your email address. He's a great guy. He's the guy behind ucoy.christogenia.org.
Oh, right. I was there yesterday. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's been really busy, and he's been traveling back and forth and to various places in the EU, and he moved a couple of times, and he hasn't had a lot of chance to keep it up, but he'll be getting back to it.
Oh, that's good news. Because we're so thin on the ground here.
Yeah, right. He's a good guy. You'll like him.
Who is that, Judith?
XCon 83 in the forum.
Yes, can you see him in the forum?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's about 4 hours from you, so it's a trip.
Yes.
But is he still in? Oh, no. He's probably still listening in.
Yeah, he just can't call in today. That's okay.
Okay.
And we know that the Skype doesn't work on this thing. It's terrible.
It's a pity. Yeah.
You know on your little globe that you have on your website.
Everybody likes to play with that thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In Lincolnshire.
Can you
for anybody
play with it? when it's got London on it, is that the whole of England or just...
No. It's yeah, you know, depending on your internet service provider.
Oh.
You may not have, it may not be your town that shows up.
Not too far away. So you hear that right in Lincolnshire. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes a British flag pops up with no town, and usually the town shows up, and the county, I guess it is. But
yeah.
But sometimes it's just City of London. If somebody's in London, it'll show up City of London.
Yes.
It shows up City of London for me, and I'm in Bexhill.
Yeah.
It shows up City of London for me, and I'm in Suffolk.
Yeah.
That's what made me ask.
Yeah, for you, I wouldn't imagine it should show up City of London. That's odd, but because I know you're pretty far outside the city. But
yes.
Yeah, it depends on your internet provider. If you have satellite, that'll do it. I mean, satellite, it'll just go through the main
Oh, yes. That's all clever. Clever stuff.
But I mean, I get hits from all over London. I see all kinds of, all kinds of little towns and
So it tells you which, it defines it further for you, does it?
Well, it gives me the same information that you get, on the globe.
Oh.
But I have other software that tells me where all my hits come from.
Right.
I have Google Analytics, tells me everything. And you may as well sign up for it because Google's going to know anyway. They store the data anyway. All it does is give me access to it. Google has the, I think they know everything that happens on the internet, I swear. It's incredible the things that they track.
Oh, yeah?
It's so incredible, it's scary, you know.
Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah. Amazing.
Free talk show training for next and new prospective hosts, April 6th. 1 2-hour session.
It's just advertising.
Okay.
Hopefully we won't need to know.
Yeah. I'm missing June. How's that?
Who?
June.
She hasn't been here today. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, there she is.
Hello, June.
He's in the background.
It's just nice to hear your voice, that's all.
Well,
one of the projects I'm going to work on is once this server is up and running, I'm going to move my largest databases to it. Because on my hosting account where Christigenia is, I have a 100 megabyte limit. And on this new server, I'm not going to have a limit. And I actually had to turn off the search on the Swift site because it was crashing my database. It's too big. The search indexing is way too big. And it's 150 megabytes, 50 megabytes over my limit. So when I move that, hopefully this month I'll get that moved to this new server. And the site can stay in the same place, but the database will move, and I won't have that limit to worry about. I know when the new Ensign documents start going up, it's going to be 10 times larger than a Swift site. I'm going to need all the database space I could get. So hopefully I'll be able to move that database to the new server, too.
Well, that's exciting. That's good news.
The site won't move, though. The site will be in the same place. The site's not going anywhere.
Right, okay.
And Richard Porter's stuff isn't going anywhere either. Mm. And I don't care if they don't like it. They'll have to send me the proof that I requested. That's all.
Yeah. But it's all for the background work. It's changing. that then the foreground is all still the same. That's good.
So what else is happening in the world?
Not much in Suffolk.
Gordon, I'm reading that Gordon Brown's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Have you seen that information?
He belongs to that group.
If it was no one wonder. Of us, we'd be, if it was one of us, we'd be doing 100 years.
Yeah.
Well, they reckon certainly. That Blair and Brown and quite a few of the other cohorts are all tied up in that sort of thing, and that's why they're able to suppress any information about the paedophile rings.
Yeah.
And it's probably true throughout major governments of the world.
Oh, I'm sure. Look at Barney Frank. I mean, his house partner got caught with kids and right in the same house he lives in, and he got out of that without a scrape.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, that's a spit on all this. Yeah.
Any of us would have lost our houses immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Job. And they get away with it time and again, and people don't see the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
They're the modern-day Pharisees and the modern-day Sadducees. There's no doubt. Christ told the children of Israel, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Well, now you know what they were doing.
Yeah. That's correct, yeah. And what they have is what they have now. Yeah,
and there's a big case going on in Scotland which they're trying to suppress. I think Blair and Gordon Brown are indirectly linked to that as well.
Probably.
And Fran Garish of the British Constitutional Party reckons it's, you know, paedophilia that's the glue that keeps all these elites together. So, you know, that's why they never split on each other, because they know they'll be exposed.
Yeah.
That is why I believe they have these high positions, because the ones who are pulling the strings know exactly what they're up to, and so they've got to keep quiet. I mean, it's absolute wickedness. Although last night we had a call, and a person told us that the man who has been disclosing all this information about the paedophilia in Aberdeen, he was speaking again at the meeting. And I was delighted to hear that, because after the fiasco in Aberdeen, he was taken into police custody for 3 days. And kept in solitary confinement. But then, when enough people got onto the internet and complained, the police had to let him go. But, I mean, I don't know what they would have plans to keep him quiet forever, but it's lovely that he's been able to speak out. Because these things need to be brought into the daylight, because the scriptures tell us. They like the darkness, covers up their evil ways. But we also know that there's a time coming when they will answer for all these affairs, and it won't be people like us condemning them, but there's a plan for the outcome of their lives. They'll be glad when it all happens.
Well, I sincerely believe that if they go into the basements of the synagogues, they probably find half the world's missing kids.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good point, because it does raise the question, with all these disappearances, where are the bodies?
Yeah.
Somebody said they probably process them into hamburgers in McDonald's.
Of course, you never thought about them, so we're quite safe.
Guest 11, how you doing?
Is that me? I'm not sure.
Yes, you're only guest 11 now, but that's
okay.
I was hesitant about letting an unknown person on the call, but I figured I'd take a stab at it.
Oh, dear, I don't know what happened. Dear, oh, dear.
Well, that's okay. You're here. That's the important thing. We know who you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just looking for something that I read today, and I just can't find it, that this paedophilia affair is going on in the U.S. government as well. It's becoming sort of a worldwide happening because there's all these children that keep going missing, and there was someone wrote up about that today.
Were you thinking of the Schaefer murders?
Yeah, I can't remember. No, I don't think it was that. It was from Dr. Carly's young man, who he writes on her behalf. I can't think of his name.
There's hundreds of thousands of kids missing in this country every year.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And nobody, yeah. Nobody seems to wonder why. They all, yeah, you know, they don't cover it.
No.
Yeah.
They don't speak out about it. They don't. I think they're afraid to look. I think law enforcement's afraid to look.
Mm.
They can't possibly not be able to find these kids.
No. And if they're in care homes and that, they're absolute prey for these people. It's just so terribly sad. I mean, and to think people could stoop so low, I mean, that's another factor. It's becoming worldwide now, in as much as that morality, maybe, you know, certain countries were holding the morality up, and now that is being eroded, the whole thing will level out to the world, what the world gets into.
But I think it's been going on all the time. Because you're dealing with the same people.
Mm.
And they are the same people, exactly. And it has been going on all the time.
Mm.
Look at all this exposure with these prostitution rings in Palestine.
Yeah.
And people should be up in arms about it, and they're not. And they can't suppress it. They've tried like hell, but they can't suppress it.
Yeah.
And dumb Zionist Christians still keep sending their money there. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's beyond belief. It is so. Yeah.
I think it's because people just listening to their TVs, you know, the cozy news and the bits they give out, and don't look any further. Then the next program comes on, and they've forgotten what they've listened to. It's dreadful.
That's what television was meant to do, with the opiate of the people. I mean, an expression used in a different context, but that's what it's proving to be today in our country. The bread and circuses. They don't think about anything except the next episode.
Well, when a kid goes missing in some town or village, and nobody cares because it's not their kid, that's the most unchristian attitude that one can have.
Yeah.
That's a total abrogation of the scriptural command to love your brother.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the first place I check is the synagogue basement.
I would say so, yeah. that's the best to do, yeah.
History should tell us that, and we ignore it. In fact, history—it's being denied. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that shows you that Satan's in charge. I mean, there's no doubt.
Right. Yeah. and how many kids are not even in Israel being demolished and taken into bits and parts for their organs and their components, their livers, their heart, etc., to be sold by the Jews, and the rest is to be burnt in the incinerator somewhere down in the basement of these hospitals in Israel. It's unbelievable, but it's really, it happens today's times, and when you're talking about it by people, friends or whoever, they refuse to believe you. That's impossible. Well, it's pretty well known. I've seen photographs of the flight attendants who did the flight of the children from Africa somewhere and then brought to Israel. And they thought that they were going there on a holiday. And after all, they heard that they were simply brought in bits and parts and cut it up. And that was the end of their holiday. And the end of their holiday was the incinerator. And the faces of these girls, they were so flabbergasted that they completely lost, which I can understand. But that happens today as well. That is still that large population, they say. And well, they I know from my earliest youth that these people have never been thrifty. Yeah?
They usually prefer white children.
Well, of course.
I seem to recall quite recently that 25,000 children were sent to Israel for adoption from one of the Eastern European countries. It might have been somewhere like Lithuania. And a guy who was concerned about what may have happened to them decided he would simply try and locate and check up on about 25 of them. And he couldn't find any of the 25.
Right. That's on my website somewhere.
Is that where I've read it?
That article is somewhere. I borrowed that and put it on my website somewhere. I mean, you may have read it somewhere else, but...
Yeah, I can't remember. It's just at the back of my mind. But, you know, to me that spoke volumes.
Yes, it should. Because they're all either sex slaves or they've already been sacrificed.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, dreadful.
And these people that support the porno industry and things like that, well, they're supporting the people and encouraging them to kidnap more children and make more porno. And it's being done with sex slaves. I'm sure a great deal of it is.
I mean, here in the UK, it is now legal for sexual deviance. To adopt children. I don't know if it's the same over in your place, but
it's totally
it's horrendous.
That's absolutely disgusting.
Well, mustn't think about it.
And often the legal grandparents who would wish to adopt are disqualified. Because they're too old, allegedly. But it's not. Preference is then given to a homosexual couple.
Mm.
It's disgusting.
Mm.
And you know what they're doing. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind what they're doing anyway. It's totally disgusting.
Mm.
Oh, Yuli Pons is also in. Hey, that's good.
I mean, when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, you would never relate it. When you used to read about that in the Bible, you'd never really relate it to modern living. You'd think that was all past and years ago.
Yeah.
But it's even probably worse today than it was then.
Right, right. Yeah. It's really up to date. Terrible.
Well,
come
there's
in.
No doubt that we're in Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. We're here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
worldwide.
Yeah. And it's the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly.
It's really blossomed and come out to the forefront, come out into the public. and become accepted by most of the public. And that's why we're being punished. We're not being punished for participating in it as much as we're being – most of our people are not participating in it. But they're all accepting it. And what does Paul say in Romans chapter 1? That not only they who do those things, but those who approve of them are worthy of death.
Yeah.
It's very clear, and it's clear in the law.
Yeah.
I cited Leviticus 5:1 the other day. If you see a crime and you don't cry out about it, you're guilty of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And these people sit in their pulpits, they sit in their churches, they sit in their schools, and they hear over and over, they sit in their living rooms, and they hear over and over again that this evil is good, and they don't cry out about it.
No.
Yeah. No, they're guilty of it. They're just as responsible for it.
Mm.
Yeah.
They've just been conditioned to it.
Well, absolutely, but we can't be, especially the people in the churches. Where they're marrying homosexuals, they're marrying their preachers are telling people to accept sexual deviance. Those people have to protest that, because the word of God says that a man who lies with a man shall die.
Shall die,
And in this Christian age, we're not to be judged by the law, and we're not to judge by the law, but we are to excoriate those people. We're told to separate those people from our community. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it has not changed. Put the sinners out from among you, period.
And if
we can't put the sinners out from among us, if we're powerless to do that, we're never powerless to separate ourselves from the sinners.
No, that's true. Absolutely true.
Yeah, we have to expose it.
Exactly. We have to expose it, otherwise we're guilty of it.
I know one a vicar in the Netherlands in one of these villages. He himself a homosexual, and the vicar is going to stand on the pulpit. I don't know how he's going to explain the Bible, but it was him.
Because God loves everybody now. They don't explain the Bible. They never explain the Bible.
Yeah.
God loves everybody now. John 3:16. Yeah. Let's all read it. Oh, it's wonderful. Okay. That's it. That's their attitude.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, in Baanbrugge. That's where it was, in Baanbrugge in the Netherlands. Yeah. I said, even my parents, they were so amazed about it. They said, you can't believe it anymore. What kind of mad world is this? And it is so. Yeah. And even our good friend in the north of the Netherlands, Jette Wijsman, she heard from one of her pastors there in one of these churches that they were complaining about it, that 71 churches were going to close in Friesland. And then she simply opened the book, in which she had a lot of information about it, and she simply said, well, this is the reason. Look at it. And then she placed it in front of the nose of the vicar. And he said, yeah, but that's what we can't say from the pulpit. But that is the reason why people are staying away from all your churches and why the churches are going to be closed. He said, well, they were amazed. It's their own fault. They come from the universities as red ones, and what they are telling is not in the Bible. And a lot of people are quite informed. And they say, yeah, if they are standing here on the pulpit and they are telling not what's in the Bible, what are we doing then here? And they are not coming anymore, and the churches are going to be closed. It's absurd. But it is today's times. It's their own will. They did it themselves.
It's a strange world.
Oh. Yeah.
Right. The average preacher today would probably find himself more comfortable serving, tending bar in a gay bar.
It's so absurd.
Years ago on Good Friday, which is tomorrow, you would have real solemn music on the radio. There was no TV, and it was a really solemn day. But today, it's hardly mentioned. I mean,
now it's a football day.
Yes.
It's a football day now.
You said it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was still in the 60s, so end of the 60s, it was still so. That was a solemn day, that's correct, and even in the Netherlands, I remember. But it's all gone. Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid in the 60s, we still had blue laws in Jersey, and on a Sunday when you walked into a store, the few stores that were open, that they had whole sections roped off that you couldn't go buy anything. Basically, all you could buy was food. You could buy food, and that was it.
Yes. Mm.
And most of the stores that didn't sell food were closed.
No.
And Sunday was a day to, you know, it was a day to stay home. Really, the only place that was open was church.
Yes.
The bars didn't even open until noon. They weren't allowed to open until noon.
No.
Christ bashing is a national sport in the U.S.
Well, right, it's become that.
Yeah.
Well, Christianity is being marginalized. And there are so many persecutions. I've just got an email in from the Christian Institute, and it says, a street preacher has been fined £1,000 by a Scottish court after answering a question about homosexuality. Sean Holes, who is an American, was kept in a police cell overnight and then charged with breach of the peace. The accusation was that he used homophobic remarks that were aggravated by religious prejudice. But if you go to scan down the report, he says, I was talking generally about Christianity and sin. I only talked about these other issues because I was specifically asked. There were homosexuals in the crowd, about 6 or 8, who were kissing each other and cuddling and asking me, what do you think of this? And he responded to questions from the crowd about homosexuality. He affirmed that everyone, including homosexuals, needed to receive Christ as Saviour. And then he said he felt he'd been set up by a load of gay campaigners. But the end product is that he's had £1,000 fine.
Now, even if they let me in Britain, I don't think I'd ever come. I'm sorry. I just don't have £1,000 laying around.
They throw away the key.
I don't think I do.
Yeah, imagine. How do they?
There's another, again, in the same email from the Christian Institute. Two Christian bed and breakfast people have actually been forced to sell their business because of a problem earlier on with, I think it was an Asian person who'd stayed with them. And that she said that they had tried to convert her to Christianity or something, which they said was untrue. And anyway, the outcome is that the regular business people had decided that they wouldn't send anybody there. And so they've now had to sell up. You know, it's just one of many, many instances of people being persecuted for what they believe.
Yeah, what a shame. Yeah, that's today's times.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse. There was a, I have an article I put on, no, I didn't put it anywhere. I sent it out to some cousins instead. And it's been around. The case has been around. It's an old case. This couple in San Diego hold a Bible study in their home, and the city keeps trying to find them because they don't have a permit to hold a Bible study in their home. In your private home.
Yeah, I remember something like that, absurd it is.
Right.
And yet it's a private home.
Yes, it's a private home. People gathering, a small group of people gathering for Bible study in a private home. And San Diego is finding for it.
Yeah, amazing. Incredible,
That's incredible.
The American Institute of Theology. It started in that way in California, in in Santa Margarita, something like that, near Los Angeles. From home on, there was no other opportunity. And I even have been there myself on a Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was. And imagine that they would have come in and said, you're fine for your not having a license. In my private home? No. It's incredible. But that's today's times. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that it is. It's ridiculous. But people are going to let it slide. People, it don't affect me. But they don't realize that it does affect them. It absolutely affects them.
You sure?
They may not see it for a few years, but it affects everybody.
It's a tyranny.
But multiracial states have to have a tyranny. There's no way to hold them together without tyranny. That's why Rome, when Rome was a republic, for 500 years. And as soon as they branched out and started folding in even white people of other nations, the republic ended, and they became a tyranny. And it requires a tyranny to hold a multiracial state together. It requires oppression.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the multiracial state will fragment and fall back into its natural order, back into its natural components. By one way or another, I mean usually by force.
Yeah.
But a multiracial state, and now we all live in multiracial states, and we're all going to, our governments are going to become more and more tyrannical to hold them together.
That's certainly.
It's a natural result.
Yeah, you can.
There's no avoiding it.
Yeah, you can. That's
if you have a multiracial state, you cannot avoid a tyranny.
Yeah.
Because the components cannot flee, just like Daniel says. The iron and the clay will not stick together, period.
Put together. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. That is certainly typical for the end time. Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. That's the seed of man and the seed of beast. There's no doubt.
Yeah. That's true.
What else is happening?
Yeah. I have here another interesting thing, and Chris might know about it, and it's in the same issue of the unsigned message, the posted unsigned message, and that's The Remnant of Judah Revealed in Germany. That was by Alan Campbell. He is going to say something finally, and it was a very good article. And he is indeed saying that a part of the German population is indeed from Judah. It's finally really written in a document. And say, finally, someone is willing to say it. And it's a very nice and friendly article. It's not so bad at all. Finally, someone.
Which, was it the current ensign?
Yeah.
Well, it's been in before. It must be a repeat.
It has been in before.
Yeah.
Okay, it's page 10. But it must have been three years ago. You don't get it?
No.
Oh, so I have to make a photocopy.
Don't they publish the end thing online anywhere?
No.
Yes,
no.
You can get past articles. They have got a site.
Oh.
But they only archive, certain articles.
Oh.
But I don't think it's up to date anyway.
No, well...
with a million pounds, you'd think they'd be able to keep that up to date.
Oh, no.
No, that's a separate entity. That's nothing to do with the BIWS.
Oh, I thought the Ensign Messenger was a component of the BIWS.
Oh, no, no.
It's separate.
Oh, so they're not going to share their million pounds with... Okay.
Yeah.
don't want to cut into the golf budget.
But in the
they were combined, but they broke away from each other for some reason a few years ago. Chris will probably know more about the history.
Well, it couldn't have been for doctrinal reasons, because they're all liars.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is right. And but that means, I think, that Judith and I, we are the only ones who are receiving the unsigned message. Or is Betty also having it?
I get it, yeah.
Three of us.
The very one, are you talking about the one that comes through the post?
Yeah.
I don't receive the one that comes through the post.
Oh, I don't.
You mean the Orange Street one?
Yeah.
The only ensign
I don't
really
know.
Counts.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The only ensign that really counts is the new ensign anyway, to hell with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, true.
We should send them copies. Yeah. I hope we're sending them copies for free. I got to, if there's anybody from the BIWF that should be getting copies of the ensign, make sure I know so I can send them. I mean, I don't want to miss any opportunities.
They must be having cornflakes. Do you realize that?
Well, that's what I would want them to do, is to choke on their cornflakes.
We think that if he's having an effect upon the ensign message, the last two or three copies have been really a great improvement on previous issues. They're not always right. But a lot of the time they're very, very wrong. You don't want to be pointed to that. But in the last issue, I believe that they had lots of photographs and all kinds of things that people on the committee pleading with them to do in the past and didn't be bothered. So we think, well, they've seen the new ensign and they've got to try and think with it.
Well, they haven't realised it, but they've really been advertising it, because on the Orange Street website, they got a notice saying it's not been nothing to do with the new ensign. And I think we had an inquiry. Had an inquiry, and they looked it up, and then they asked for a copy of the new ensign. So they were really advertising it.
Well, I was at the Orange Street website once, and I was kind of disappointed with it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I ever went back.
No. Well, I mean, we've been on, when I was on the thing, to improve it, but nobody would listen.
Oh, that's stupid.
The ones in charge can't get anything better on it than what they are, because they're just showing exactly who they are and where they're coming from. They certainly don't think it's got anything to do with the Israelite people. And when I suggested they put some of Bill McMurdo's and Alan Campbell's tapes on there as MP3s, they said, "Oh, that'd be too controversial."
Yeah, it's a pity.
I don't think McMurdo's too controversial.
Well, it's for Orange Street.
That's pretty
well, he preaches there, but
Yahweh has given us the bring on the times when it came. But when I mentioned that I thought they were trying to stop the man who was bringing the strong meat to the church, I was told quite firmly, if you don't like what's preached here, you need to come. But I've still been going. Not to the spirit of what I'm getting, but I do believe it should be kept. We need it to be kept open. From abroad to make a beeline to go there because of its past reputation.
Well, I hope I continue to hire them. That's all I care about. I hope I continue to be a thorn in their side. Because the word is supposed to divide those who and trouble those who love the world. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
I might I think I'm gonna download the Orange Street website this week.
Yeah. Have you tried downloading the Ensign site with the past article?
No, I should probably do that though too, huh? I don't know the site. Maybe if you could email me the URL, I'll download that this week.
Yeah, I will do, Bill.
I download entire websites. I got bunches of them. Just in case I ever need anything from them, and that way I don't have to count on them being there.
There's a possibility it might be packing up shortly. There are sort of legal things going on there.
Okay. Well, if you send me the address, I'll download it.
Yeah, I'll do that, Bill.
All these peculiarities. But I wonder if we are coming there in about the end of July, we're going to be in the Park Street church, and we're coming with five or six persons from whatever, from the continent. I wonder what they're going to see then.
Well, you never know.
I like the idea. Just a peculiar experience. Yeah. What is that? Oh, Sonia. He's saying something. Midnight messages put down by missionary publications, I guess. Okay. You can imagine these. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, so it is, folks. Yeah.
So what else do we have to talk about?
That's an interesting thing. We have been talking about it on Sunday, and that was the fermented and unfermented bread for coming tomorrow evening and Saturday.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's an interesting thing. I've never thought about it. Indeed, it starts, the unleavened bread starts on Sunday. In this case, today, the time is Sunday then.
According to the calendar that Ken Lent and Eli agreed that the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts Friday night on Saturday. Well, the Passover is Friday night into Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's confused with the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because that's an unleavened bread day also. People don't realize that the children of Israel were also commanded to eat unleavened bread with their Passover.
Okay. So that's for tomorrow evening as well.
Yes.
Okay.
For the whole 7 days, really.
Well, really, for 8 days, the Passover and the seven following days.
Yes.
That's what I missed. That's what I didn't understand. I thought it was on the Saturday. Not necessary to have unleavened. Oh, okay. I had also the idea that from beginning to end it was unleavened bread.
Yes, and
because I didn't have the time to get it leavened.
That's 8 full days. That's actually 8 full days.
Yeah. Okay. Okay,
Is there an argument? Because I noticed this in one of your emails that somebody had mentioned to you that those feasts might have been done away with at the cross.
Right, and a lot of people believe that, but Paul tells us to keep the feast. The feasts are not rituals. The feast days are not really rituals. I wouldn't but Paul also says that don't let anybody judge you concerning the feast.
Yeah.
Meaning, don't let anybody rule over your faith. We are anti-Pharisees.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't keep the feast, I'm not going to excoriate him over it. That's his decision. It's difficult for a lot of us to keep the feast, especially if we have an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving
wife. Yeah.
How do you keep it as an individual, somebody who is not going to have fellowship on that day?
Well, what can you do? You can can choose to observe the unleavened bread or not. I don't think that your salvation depends on that.
Well, you take the Passover on your own.
Do something and devote that time to Yahweh and try to do something constructive that will help the kingdom.
And it's after, you know, as soon as it gets dark on Passover, that's when it begins at 8 o'clock our time.
Yeah, about 8 o'clock. So after 8.
And then the next day is a holy day for 7 days. Actually, I think this is where spring cleaning came into being, because you have to de-leaven your home. I'm not saying people with husbands or people, you know, who can't do it. If you're on your own, you de-leaven your house.
That's a good analogy, Elizabeth. That's pretty good. I never thought about that. You might have something there.
So I just play a tape, you know, follow the service by the tape and buy a little bottle of wine out of, you know, have an individual. They sell an individual bottle and keep it. And I make my own flatbread and eat that for the week. So it really brings it home to you, really, that to be unleavened. I'm not saying but once a year it sort of reminds you of that. And, of course, that is the true Holy Week, those 7 days of unleavened bread, because after Passover, the Saviour was crucified in the middle of unleavened bread, because he was cut off in the middle of the week, and the wave sheaf was waved after the last day of unleavened bread. So they call it the first day of the week, because it would have been after the seventh day, last day, and then you don't eat bread till after the wave sheaf has been waved, and then you eat the new corn or whatever. And that really is a reminder every year. And that's the resurrection day, the wave sheaf day. He was raised. And it's all a very meaningful week if one takes it in that context of being unleavened. And that's what I've done for about 30 years now. But it's a reminder every year. And it's quite hard work getting the crumbs out of your house. They get everywhere, you know, crumbs.
Well, I don't think you'll be judged for a crumb, Betty.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. But what I mean is you spring clean. And I think that's where it came from originally, you know.
I'm in a position where I live with my mother and my grandmother, and I'm never going to be able to de-leaven the house. I'd have to start with the television. That's the biggest de-leaven.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But you can celebrate it in your... I had a list, but I lost the list. Somewhere in the house I have that list where you can see what you have, what you're... You can do the ceremony, whatever you would like to call it, yourself for singles. And that was on the UK somewhere, on one of these biblical websites or whatsoever. I got it from the BI. They told me there and there you can find it. But that article is gone. I can't find it anymore. But it was indeed correct. Then you had the whole celebration and you could do it alone. There was no problem. And so I did it, and so I'll continue to do this, what I can. And I'll bake my own flatbread and whatever. And there's simply no leaven in it. Now, yeah, okay, that's no problem. And it's eating like a biscuit, and you can get cheese on it, and you can get whatever jam or jelly on it. It works all fine.
Yeah.
So if you want, you can do it. It's no problem. And it's advisable.
Yeah.
So we'll do tomorrow evening. Oh,
well,
yeah,
bread,
and
bread's
yeah?
actually a small part of my diet anyway.
Yeah. And the point of view is also the wine, whether it's have alcohol or not. Huh? And, well, the advice, the best advice is what I always give. Take just grape juice. You're separated from all problems. Nobody can deny it. Whether alcohol or not alcohol, the best is to stay off it because it is fermented stuff. So if it's unleavened bread, then it must be unleavened wine as well. So,
but it wouldn't have kept in the Holy Land had it not been fermented. Wouldn't have kept in those days unless it was fermented.
Right. I think the worrying about in the wine is maybe, I don't know if that's going a step too far and worrying about a little too much.
Yeah, well, I learned it in that way.
Well, there's no doubt they drank wine on a Passover. And the word is fully indicates, the Greek word fully indicates fermented grape juice.
Yeah, get a good quality wine if possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no doubt in my mind that that's what they drank.
Also, it reminds people, the Israelites came out of Egypt on that first day of unleavened bread. And you follow the story of that during the week, you know, where they were at certain points. So it reminds you continually of that exercise. I know, you know, it's Old Testament, but it does bring it to one's attention.
Yeah, the question, of course, is, in those days, could they have grape juice in containers for whatever material? That time of the season, still, to be kept that long in bottles without going to ferment by itself? And that is indeed the question. It's rather doubtful. It's pretty warm there. And the grapes and the juice by it, if by at all, they were fresh, say, in autumn. And by springtime, it's pretty likely that they must have been fermented. They couldn't hold them that long, I suppose.
They didn't have
the idea?
It would be impossible.
I would say so, yeah. It's impossible. There must have been fermentation automatically in it. It's about half a year, say that it is. And if they were using a kind of grape juice whatsoever, that was automatically fermented at the time. They didn't need to do anything about it. There would have been alcohol in. And that makes it questionable whether it must be fermented or unfermented. Yeah, that's right. There's still something to think about. Yeah, but I think also we will not be judged about it, at least in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay,
well,
I'll have them both.
Well, it's definitely to our credit when we do things that please him. I mean, seek, even though we can't do it perfectly, that we seek to keep his word. And
right. Yeah.
Definitely to our credit. And to a good example for our brothers.
Yeah.
That's what's most important, I believe, in this day and age. Because none of us can keep it exactly. And because we're missing so much information.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. The continuation of the exact information was lost over time, unfortunately. Yeah. So we'll do our best. Yeah.
I mean, today the Queen gives out Maundy money, Maundy Thursday, and
right.
The Pope,
yeah.
and the Pope keeps something tonight. I think he washes one of his people's feet. The Queen gives the money in place of the foot washing. Well, when there's more than one person keeping it, you have the foot washing as well. It's all part of the, you know, to saying that you'll wash your brother's feet. And it's a principle of taking care of your brother. So, but they, even the Pope keeps, does that this evening. But, It's all been taken out of context altogether, hasn't it? We're just learning little bits here and there.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
You can't please everybody, so you seek to please God, and that's the only
thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're alone, then you celebrate His feasts to the best of your ability. That's
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. But the interesting thing is we can discuss it, and that brings in new ideas, and that's what I like most of all. Yeah. That's the best way to come to an acceptable situation for the whole. Yeah.
No doubt. But don't let any Pete Peters tell you that you have to do this and you have to do
that. Yeah. Yeah. Pete Peters, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one
of
those names.
Modern-day Pharisees.
Yeah. We're filled up with them. Yeah.
Eli's going to have a service on Saturday. He's going to hold the pass. I'm not good at services. I don't do anything like that. It's just not me. I'm a historian. Eli's going to have a service on the Yahweh's Covenant People Show on Saturday night.
On Saturday night, yeah. That's for a Sunday morning.
Yeah, it'll be Sunday morning for us, isn't it? Early in the morning.
So 5 or 4 o'clock.
Well, yeah, you guys will just have to download it. I mean, what can I say? That's why I got archives. You know, that's why we put them up there.
Yeah, that's what Mike Hellymore has told me as well. I said, man, you're starting at 10 o'clock. That's 5 o'clock an hour morning. Yeah, but you can do it by the archive. I said, okay, that's right. Yeah. And then he is asking you to come into the show. Yeah, I don't mind, but it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I still have my sleeping cap on. Yeah, imagine. Yeah, such a funny thing of life. Okay, to learn something, I know what I'm going to do and how to do tomorrow evening. But I have a good grape juice, I have it, so I can use it, but I have good red wine as well, so I can do whatever is necessary.
I've had 2 glasses of wine since I came home.
You better do. I have a glass of wine every evening.
I would like to, but I can't. I'm just afraid that I'm not going to have all my faculties. I can't have a couple of drinks and get on a program. No way. That ain't going to
ever happen. That is difficult. Right? That's difficult. Yeah. Well, 1 glass of wine, that will do. It's about an ounce, 100 milliliters. Huh? Yeah, it's a glass of wine. That's 100 milliliters, that's an ounce. Four ounces? 1 ounce? 9 ounces? About 100 milliliters, yeah. Oh, that's 1 glass is sufficient. That will not harm you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it is.
Yeah, I just don't want to get back into any old bad habits, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's safe. But my grandfather, he was born in the house of the distillery. So my great-grandfather, he had a distillery in the Netherlands. Yeah.
Well, my family had a brewery. My family had a brewery in New York.
Yeah, right. There you are. Good.
Right up until Prohibition, they owned a brewery.
Yeah.
So on.
I have my glass of wine, yeah. I'm preparing the evening meal. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's what I did as well. I was preparing the evening meal, and at the table I had another glass. And that was 2 glasses. He said, now that can be reduced to 50%. So
a glass of wine once a day is probably good for you.
That's correct.
If you could find wine without sulfites and all the other garbage they put in it.
And then you have to make it yourself. From rose hips, I can advise it. Rose hip wine. You have no idea how lovely that is. It gives a kind of gold color. Beautiful. Super wine. When I left the Netherlands, 20 years ago, Yes, yeah, about 20 years ago now. Then I had, from the summertime, the rose hip, I had 100 liters. There's three of these cylinders, you know, big tanks, full of it. It was marvelous. Super condition, perfect. But I said, yeah, what to do with it? So my mother drank it. It took her 3 years to come through. And after that, she had to go to the shops again to buy the wine. And then she said, no, I'm not going to buy that stuff anymore. Yours was a lot better. I learned my lesson. She said, this I never get again. I said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, about 100 liters it was. Three real tanks full. It was marvelous material. And I can advise it still. But the problem is, you can't get sugar anymore because you needed the basic ingredient, the sugar, for the fermentational process. But they killed the sugar. It doesn't ferment anymore. It is all poisoned. It's horrible. But otherwise, you can make your own wine in large quantities, and made it from cherries, and made it from rosehip, and even from dandelions, etc. Oh, it was all lovely stuff. You only had to know how to do it. That was all. But you have to be careful, otherwise you're going to be to customize and drinking too much of your own wine, even if it's desulfided. There's no sulfite in it. Then you're only a good customer. Then you're drinking too much. You better don't do. my mother was very pleased with it. Yeah. 300, yeah, it was 100 liters for 3 years. About that was long. The good old days. Yeah. No, okay. But the price of wine in the Netherlands and the price of the wines here in Germany, that makes a huge difference. It's a lot cheaper here. For the Netherlands, it's all over and overtaxed. You can't believe it. If the word alcohol is on it, then you have to pay a high tax, and that's always far too high. And when friends of mine are coming in here, and they're going down in the shop, and they say, for that price, for 2 or 3 euros, you have a very fine bottle of wine. They can't believe it. I said, okay, you can't believe it? Just take another bottle. Let's take it, and we have 2 bottles for the evening. So what?
You can get a bottle of wine for $6 here. You could buy a bottle of wine for $6 or $8 here, but a decent bottle is usually 12 to 15.
All right. Yeah. Oh, I remember that in the name was a silly place in Badgers. Yeah, in Badgers, in California, Badgers. You have never heard about it. And that is for the entrance of the park with the big trees. The what are the big trees? The
redwoods.
The Sequoia National Park.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The redwoods, correct. And the redwoods. And I was on my way there years ago by car, and I passed by there, and it's getting 4 o'clock in the evening, in the afternoon, it's getting dark. I said, oh, I have to find a lodging somewhere. And then I was in the place Badgers, and that was off at the motel. I said, okay, let's turn in. And I came in there. And there I met Barney Reed. And I asked him, is there still room for you? He said, okay, that's a question you have to the girls here in the house. Ask them. And if you're ready with that, you come to me. Then we'll have a good red burgundy. And we'll drink together. I said, okay, that's a good deal. Well, there was a gallon. More than half of the gallon was gone by the end of the evening. We had a very pleasant evening. Yeah, it was a good time, Barney Reed. He was telling his war stories. Now, his war story, he was shot out of the aircraft during the war, and that was somewhere in the area of Elsa's Lottery. And indeed, he managed his way to Spain through France, and he simply said, for not $1 million, I would have missed that whole opportunity. But for not a $10 million, I'd do it again. Yeah. I'll never forget that expression. Yeah, Barney Reed. Yeah. Such can happen. Oh, I missed my... Yeah, I have to get the machine on. Get the light on and... measure the blood pressure. I have to do that every hour with the registration here. And maybe you heard that peculiar device. I would start pumping up.
I don't know if I could take my blood pressure every hour. That would drive me nuts. I think I'd throw that machine away. I'm sorry.
Ah, that's good. Except for the strange blood pressure. That mustn't be a missing value. That's a wrong value. That can't be. Oh, I learned my lessons about it. And it's not too difficult. Hey, 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 hey. What's dead?
Okay, don't everybody talk at once.
I can't think of
it. We've got to have something to say here. Where are the women from Holland? I would love to see them here one week, at least just to listen, if not to participate.
I think that once you get your new format, the new server and everything, it will bring down the cost of the phone calls, and I think that may well be part of the problem.
Well, yeah, it will. They'll be free, but I mean the the chat room's free, and that doesn't cost anything. And I just thought maybe it'd be nice to see them get their feet wet.
Yeah, that's true.
They are coming over in July. Maybe we could introduce them to you when they come over through Chris's.
So,
I don't know what he feels about it.
When's the next Bad Tynak meeting?
No, this is a Bexhill meeting.
No, when's the next time?
Yeah, right.
When's the next time you go to Bad Tynak?
Well, we don't know if there will be one because the leader, committed suicide in Vertigo.
Yeah. Right. I don't believe that story.
No.
No, he didn't commit suicide.
It was a very strange experience. To me, it was indeed strange that somebody like him did commit suicide. That was something morbid. I'm definitely sure about it.
Well, you can't hunt with a hare. Hunt with a house and run with a hare.
There's nobody there that can pick up the pieces in an idiomatic sort of way.
I think we have to nominate Matthew to do the job.
You said it.
Well, I mean, Bad Tynak is in Baden-Württemberg. Matthew's in Bavaria. It's a trip.
Yeah, 3 hours car drive.
Yeah, Wolfgang's the nearest to it.
Yeah, that's right.
Would Wolfgang organize it?
Questionable. Questionable. It's not so easy to do.
Well, it would just be nice to see somebody from that area active, at least. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it's a shame that the whole group goes down the drain because
that's what I told him, yeah.
Of one man's.
That's correct. Yeah. And the peculiar thing is, that one of them, and I don't remember his name, but he was one of the members. He lives, or he went up, and he's living now, pretty close to the Dutch borderline in Lower Saxony. And they will have on the 25th of April, this month, a meeting just in that area. And Chet Weisman is going there. And she also invited me to come there, and I said, yeah, okay, that is just at the time that I was going to the Netherlands, by all means. So it's most probably so that I'll go to that meeting in Lower Saxony, and after that I'll go to Chetter Weisman, and then I'm going over the north of the Netherlands to the coastline of the west, and going to stay a few days with my niece. and meet my friends and acquaintances in the Netherlands, and then I'm going back to Bavaria. That's about 8.5 hours car drive, huh? And that's a long run. But indeed, in that way, I'll still have some opportunity to meet a few of these Germans in Lower Saxony. Let's see what it will be. I don't know. It's just an experience. But it's a special type of meeting. Oh, wait, I'll get you informed.
Great. Yeah, I'd like to know.
In fact, you could pass on Chris and my good wishes to any who remember us.
No, I'll bring them all greetings. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Is Hans Udo Hoster going there as well?
He's from Berlin. That's about from there to there. Yeah, also three and a half hours car drive. And I don't know. I don't know. He might come there. I don't know how many participants are going there.
Well, you know,
I
get a lot of hits on my site. I get a lot of hits on my site from Germany and Belgium and Holland. And if you think that anything will help, I mean, if you want to, if there's any German language literature or anything like that that you want posted, you just let me know. Or if you want a German language section on my forum, just let me know and I'll put it up.
Yeah, we can try that. But then you need to have it in German. Do you have some in German in that case?
Well, I don't have any German language identity literature. I mean, I don't. Yeah, you know, Eli has some on his site. I could post that or repost it everywhere, or
something like
post
that.
Links
to
it or something like that. Eli's got his book, you know, The Great Impersonation. He has it in German on his site. He has a whole German language section.
Yes, actually, I. When we first went to Bad Tynag, I had that printed out and I distributed Eli's German. If you remember, Matthew.
Yeah.
You say the first year, wasn't it? For the German section.
Yeah, no, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, he wasn't there for the. And also, I've got some, well, I think, Matthew, you have as well, that article by Manfred Hess.
It's the last one.
Yeah, and there's the one by Jacob, I've forgotten what his name was, who on the solar, you know, on the solar calendar.
Well, was it in German?
If you want to provide the articles, Matthew, I'll put up the German language section at the New Ensign site, and maybe I'll borrow some of Eli's stuff for it.
Hmm. Well, I can ask Manfred Hess, whether he has objections for it. Probably not, and we can put it on your site. Yeah, why not? That's a good idea. I'll just have to make a phone call for him and ask him whether he's minding. Yeah, that's all right. We can do so, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's worth it. But it was a good article about the Jewish population.
About the Romans when they came.
The Judahites.
They gave them land in Germany.
About the Württemberg in that area. And he tracked it, and indeed it was so. It is indeed so that there are records about it that the people have been living there. And probably descendants of them, they are still living there, but people don't know about it. But it is pretty clear. And that's one of the sources here in Germany where Israelites came from. It's clear. And indeed,
well,
as we have said,
nice.
They were definitely agriculture.
It would be real nice, too, to see some of those German origins pamphlets, papers I wrote, those essays in German. I mean, I can't do it.
Sure.
Rudolf Exkon in the forum, he's translated a lot of my papers and a lot of Clifton's papers into Slovak.
Oh?
Yes. Uh-huh. And he's done it himself. Uh-huh. I might be wrong, so he might beat me up for this, right? I think his father's a Carpathian German and his mother's Slovak.
Oh, okay. In that way,
and he was raised in Slovakia, and he doesn't speak
Slovak.
He speaks Slovak. So he's actually translated a lot of our work into Slovak.
That's right. Yeah, I saw it on your website. Slovakia, where does it come from? That? What is this? Now I understand. Okay, that is clear, yeah.
Well, it'd be great to see some of it in German, too. I mean, if you know anybody that would volunteer to do that.
I've got that Two Seedline book in German. I've gotten the... who it was written by. You've got one as well, haven't you, Matthew?
Yeah. Just a minute. Yeah, there are two books. That little one, that very small one.
Yes.
Which I did translate for... we can do that as well. Yeah, that's no problem. But that came from... the book I did translate, that was for... it took a hell amount of time. A little booklet. And I did it for Mike Halleymore. That's what it is.
Oh, because they sent me...
That's your origin.
So I got about five of the booklets sent to me by Sons of Liberty Books. Because I thought, you know, when I went to Germany next time, I could hand them out.
Okay. But if you have one of these examples, you send it to Bill.
Yeah. I'll scan it in.
Yeah, sure. Well, it will be useful.
Well, yeah, I would love to get a German language section up. It's not on Christogenes, at least on the New Ensign site.
That's right.
If it was my work, I would put it on both. And if it's not my work, I'll put it on the New Ensign site.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wherever necessary.
And it would help.
It
might help a lot of the, you know, I get a lot of hits from Germany and Holland, and it would probably help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? You don't need to do it in Dutch. That's not, I mean, it's absolutely unnecessary. You can understand it in English. Otherwise, you're not searching for it.
And I've got the same booklet also in Spanish.
Yeah, see, there you are.
And there are a lot of people from Spain that visit my site also.
Yeah, I am probably from the Basque area. from the original Hebrew area. Oh yeah.
I noticed one gentleman that's Galician. I'm probably
Galicia. That's northern Spain.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I see. There you are. That's right. That's the Galicia.
And he's visitor to the site and a steady listener to our program. So.
See, there you are. Yeah. Yeah. Galician one. He's probably one of these Hebrews. Yeah. That could be a Basque. Although the Basques from today's times there have a very bad name because of their bombings, etc. But that wasn't in those days.
Yeah, well, it's no different than than the Catholics in North Ireland, you know. I mean,
actually, yeah. Yeah.
American political standards, we should probably be bombing Madrid to make sure that the Spanish give those people their independence.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it in Kosovo, right? I mean, isn't that pretty hypocritical of us?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we did to the Serbs?
Yeah, in actual fact. Yeah.
We should be bombing Madrid because they haven't given the Basques their independence. That's the way I look at it. Or we're hypocrites. I guess we're hypocrites.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Yeah.
That shows you. Well, when the world is hypocritical, Satan is in charge. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah. 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 It's a crazy world. Really a crazy world. It's really time for Christ to come back and to take over and finally get the rest from all that sort of horrible things of today's times. Yeah. And starting then preparing the real kingdom. The real and only one, which is a lot easier living and a lot less difficulties. And the most important thing of all, then you can really use your manpower for good things, for creating the kingdom and building it up. That was his duty. For if you have a few real useful human beings together, they have a tremendous amount of energy and power, and they can do a lot. But it is always it in today's times. It's a shameful thing, but it is so. I have to live with it for the time being. Yeah. But when that manpower is to be used for the kingdom.
Well, right. And that's the, you know, our ancestors sought the city from heaven, and so do we. That's part of the Christian hope, right? Okay, this is a moment of silence, and I don't know what it's in honor.
Come on, wait a minute. It'll be super. Yeah, we are still thinking. We are in brown study. But we're still, how many people are still on the line? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we are only 6, at least on my computer.
Now there's 7 people here.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a few more before a few people left. I guess we wore them out.
Yeah. But didn't count you. That's right. I started on the white.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
yeah,
you.
You're right. Two of these
so
people
it's 7.
Are me. I'm a liar. Two of these people are me.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 6. Linux PC is me.
It's still 7. It's correct.
Linux PC is me, too. I'm trying to squeeze in 2 votes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, Yuri Fons is also still listening. Good, good. Yeah.
Well, most of the people that listen, I guess, actually work during this, you know.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It's working
okay.
Hours here in the States. I mean, most
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we are having it easy in the evening. Man, I have to work still. That's right. Yeah.
Well, that was the idea of the program
about
when
it.
I started it. To yeah, you know, because all the other programs, you people are sleeping in the middle of the night. So
yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and that makes it so easy for Sunday because then people are not supposed not to be at work in America, but then, indeed we're on Thursday. That is a different point. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I never realized that, but it is so. Yeah. Yeah, and when you're retired, it doesn't matter at all. So, yeah? Yeah, come in.
When we listen to the downloads the day after, and especially Christo Gania on Monday, we're listening Tuesday, and Christo Leos, we're listening Wednesday, you know, we really do feel part of what's going on. And I don't think... the people in the forum at the time, or even the people running the shows, realize that. But, you know, there may not be many of us, but we really do feel part of that. And I wouldn't dream of, I mean, the first thing I do on a Tuesday morning is download to hear what was going on. And they really are so important to me, and I'm sure I speak for everybody else.
Well,
and I just like that feedback to go, you know, to go back so that people realize that there's more to just their immediate audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's appreciated. That's you know, I try to upload the programs even before I go to bed.
Sure.
I mean, I know you get them off TalkShoe, but you get them a lot faster from Chris Degania, and I try to upload
them
before I go to bed.
Well, I'm so enthusiastic, I have to go to talk show often.
Yeah.
But, no, it really is good. And, it, you know, they're important parts of my Christian life.
Yeah.
And also I download them and put them onto CDs and they get passed around. And also some are sent up to June because she hasn't got a computer. And she doesn't get up in the middle of the night to listen in to America.
Yeah,
you
should
change your whole schedule. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
That's great.
All the efforts, because really this is our fellowship. When I was home, I don't have a great deal of fellowship. It isn't within my own family, but the churchgoers at large, we just do not want to know. They're very happy waiting for the rapture. And saying there won't be a one, but no, they come in time, wrong in daylight. So I'm quite happy to leave it at that.
You mean there's really not going to be a rapture?
It's sad.
Well, it's totally, you know, it's removed all their sense of responsibility. They don't need any responsibility. People love that.
Yeah.
They love that idea. They're not respond. They don't have to do anything. Just lay back and wait for the ride, right?
Yeah.
And that's why they like, they're pleased for things to be getting worse, and then they say, oh, we're going to be raptured. So.
And the people that really benefit from that, from that theology, the world's criminals.
Yeah. Well, they introduced it, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It's the perfect theology for them because nobody's going to blame them for their crimes. Nobody's going to chastise them for their evil.
There is one thing, Bill, I've noticed on your site. This evening, we've put another hour on our time this last Sunday.
I know, and I don't know why that's wrong, because it comes from an independent server that's supposed to supply the correct time, but I know that the London time is not adjusted yet. I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. That's right.
I'm going to have to go to their website and try to figure out why it hasn't updated, if I can.
Well, it's so long as in its meantime.
Yeah.
Right, that clock is from a program on a third-party website that I kind of borrowed, you know. I didn't write the code, but...
I don't know why we have to mess about with the moving the times.
We all complain about it, too, and the government won't stop.
It's strange because most people I speak to would like to stay on what we call British summertime.
Right, and it's the same here. People are disgusted with it. They don't like changing the clocks. Change the time the kids go to school.
Exactly.
You know, if it's for the kids in school. I think the Jews somehow make money on it. I haven't figured out how
yet. That's right.
They got to make money on it one way or another.
Yeah.
I don't know. They benefit from it somehow. I ain't figured out. Maybe somebody smarter than me will. But.
Yeah. I prefer the old time.
One state here that refuses to change the clocks, and that's Arizona, and a county in Indiana, I think. One county in Indiana does not change their time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they can benefit from that because they're right on the timeline in between Eastern and Mountain Time and Central Time.
Yeah, correct.
So that for six months they're on Eastern Time and for 6 months they're on Central Time.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They kind of force you. They're right to do so.
At least they only have one time zone.
Because in the UK, in the 1800s, well, I think right up to about 1880, nearly every town had its own time. So, for example, Glasgow would be 20 minutes difference from, say, London, and Liverpool would be a different time. And it was only when the railways came into being that it was such a complicated thing doing the timetables. They said, oh, it's a good idea for us all to be on the same time.
That is correct.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll have a one-world time as soon as we get a one-world currency, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that's easy. We have it, Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah, right. Well, if everybody was on it.
Well, we haven't got the Amiro yet, or whatever's coming.
Yeah.
In astronomy, it's that we're using a Greenwich Mean Time and then translated to Universal Time, and that's to be used all the time. That's the easiest way, otherwise you're lost. And in radio ham. All the radio hams are also using Greenwich Mean Time. That's right.
Yeah.
Otherwise you were not saying, what time is it? Yeah, it can be any time. And we all had the Greenwich Mean Time clock. And actually, My clock is saying now that it is 7:30 in the evening because I don't change the clocks. Let them run. I'll add or subtract an hour. I don't care. We're changing my clocks. I don't need to do so.
Leave it to the astronomer.
Except for two clocks who are running on each.
Yeah. So you're running on UK
always
time
people.
Now.
Right. Right. I'll just keep it going. Yeah. And the clocks who are automatically compensated for, they're running on DCF, that signal here in Frankfurt. And that's the atomic clock, and that's adjusting all these clocks automatically. That's perfect. Okay, let it go. I don't care. Yeah. But all clocks in the house, they just run on. You're in, you're out on the same time. I don't care. Just
I'm
let us
just
check an hour. And there is one
right,
who is having even 10. Yeah. You can also, you take the June time. That's even easier. Oh, it's 10 minutes too early. Isn't it? Now, I stopped carrying on watches. They got all broke. Then there was water in it, and there was this wrong. I said, oh, stop it with these watches. I have a clock in my car. I have a clock in every room, so why should I have it on my arm? In the workshop, it's in a danger area. I said, oh, forget it.
Bill, you may not have a clock, but now that you've got a dog, it will surely get into the habit of being outside your door at 6 in the morning waiting to go for a walk.
How about bouncing off the bed at 4?
Yeah.
Bounces off the bed. My grandmother goes to bed
terrible.
At 9, and Mom goes to bed at 10. So I inherit the dog from 10 on, and he sits down here with me. And I put him, you know, he's usually sleeping on the rug under my feet. I got a little carpet under my feet just for him. And he sleeps on that until I go to bed between 2 and 3. And by 4, he's bouncing off the bed trying to jump up on it. And he's a little short puppy and he can't reach it. And when he reaches, I got a surprise for him because he's not sleeping on the bed. But he'll go right off the other side. But Nah, he bounces, he jumps up on the bed and he just kind of bounces off it because he keeps trying. He doesn't get up until I wake up and I give him a pat on the head and tell him to stop it and calm him down, and half an hour later he's bouncing off it again. Well, he will take no for an answer because I don't care how big he gets, I'm bigger. He will learn that he can't share the bed.
Yeah.
But they do seem to have an internal clock.
Oh, yeah, about 4 o'clock every morning he starts.
Yeah.
Whether I go to bed at 1 or at 3. Yeah, there's no doubt. And I would like to get him put up, you know, old enough to stay in the kitchen at night and sleep up there. But he yelps and yelps and yelps and yelps. He's finally made his way down the stairs today by himself. He made his way down the stairs. My mother went out to the store, and he didn't yelp. He just came down the stairs. I was shocked. But
that's amazing at 8 weeks.
Well, when she came home, she came down and picked him up and brought him back up. She don't know that he made his way down the stairs on his own. Yeah, it's a pretty steep staircase. It's 11 steps, and it's a pretty steep staircase. I had him going up and down the stairs on the back porch to the yard That's about six steps, and I had him doing that the his second day home.
Oh.
I had him walking on a leash his first day home and going up and down the back steps on his second day. So he's pretty quick. But he's 14 pounds. He's 8 weeks old, but he's already 14 pounds. So.
Yeah.
He's already
so have you taken him out yet?
Well, I took him for one walk on a road about four or five houses. Yeah, you know, not too long, maybe a couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
And walk him back. And today, after this program, I might take a walk for half an hour and bring him. Yeah, you know, walk him about half a mile maybe. That's what I'm thinking about doing. Because it's 57 degrees out.
Oh, well, that's quite pleasant.
Well, it was. It might be warmer now. I got to look. I got to bring up my website. It might be warmer now because it was 57.
Yeah, I also,
a couple of hours
it's
ago.
That's springtime temperature. That's correct.
Well, we had snow this morning.
Now. It's 66 degrees now. It's very pleasant now.
66?
It was 57 at noon. And before this program began, I rebooted my computer. It was 57.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is.
Maybe about 11.
It's 90 degrees. 19 degrees centigrade. That's good. It's a nice temperature. The springtime, a good springtime. It was warm.
But we had snow this morning, and it's been bitterly cold.
And so it must be even colder with you, Judith.
Sorry?
It must be even colder with you if you've had snow.
Yes, we have. Had
did
snow this morning. For a while, yes. And then we did actually at lunchtime, we had glorious sun. But we've really gone from the two extremes.
Yeah. Well, I had during the day, I had some wet snow coming down. And then I checked it, and then it was about 5 degrees, which means 41. 41 Fahrenheit. Yeah,
that's the weather we had for the last 2 weeks here. That's the weather we've had for the last 2 weeks here. And there was a good frost on the ground one morning last week where we had about maybe a quarter inch of snow. But it's beautiful out today. It wasn't bad out yesterday, but it's beautiful out today.
Yeah. And the last snow we have been seeing here, that was when I was in the hospital 1.5 weeks ago. What is it, 2 weeks ago? Time's going so fast. Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago, meanwhile. That was the last snow we saw, and now you can see it only here on the mountains. And the rest is clear and clean. But,
in the chat room,
it's April, we can...
In the chat room, Yuli's saying it's 80 degrees in Chicago.
See? Yeah. See?
So that's
there you are. Yeah.
That's your continental climate, isn't it? Because it's so far inland.
Oh, yeah. In the wintertime, it's usually colder there than it is here.
One of my neighbors regularly travels to Chicago, and particularly in winter, and she tells me that the temperatures at night are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's usually a little colder there than it is here.
Yeah.
Even though I'm at a slightly higher latitude.
In Chicago, yeah. In Chi.
I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Okay, Betty.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll look forward
nice
to talking to you again.
Nice hearing your voice.
See you next time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye. Good night. Yeah, it's 8:45. Local here.
I would have thought that where Judith is, it should have been pretty seasonable by now, but I guess not.
It can vary so much, but it's still quite cold here. But the ground is still too hard to work, for example.
And June thought when she was coming down to the sunny south, you know, sitting out in the garden in deck chairs, instead of that, it's been cold and boring with rain.
And the first when I'm home next week, we'll have snow up in the north of Durham, where
hopefully we've seen the last of the snow here. But we can't plant here for another 2 months safely.
Yeah, that's normal.
I mean,
yeah.
we could have, well, we have had April snow showers, April snowstorms.
That's normal.
Had the occasional foot or 2 feet of snow in April. That's gone in a couple of days, but it can't happen.
So
are you going to try growing your tomatoes again this year?
Yeah, I'm gonna put them. You know, last year I got pictures on WilliamFink.net of a garden I put in last year on the side of the garage. That's never grown a tomato, so there can't possibly be any blight in the soil. I mean, I had the soil trucked in. There's 7 yards of new soil in it. Last year I planted peppers that failed, but I very successfully planted string beans, pole beans, and red cabbage and broccoli in it.
Oh, broccoli. Yeah, that's great.
So I'm going to move all that stuff to where the tomatoes were, to the big garden where the tomatoes were. And I'm going to plant nothing but tomatoes, basil, and from seed, and some hot peppers in it. That's all I'm planting in that big garden. And it's a brand new bed, so... I'm going to get about 10 of those 2 cubic foot or 3 cubic foot bales of peat and work that into the soil with some sand and build it up a little more. And then I'm going to plant nothing but tomatoes and basil and some hot peppers I picked up in it.
That sounds good.
And everything else I'm going to plant in the backyard. And the beans are going in where the tomatoes failed last year, because they're a lot hardier and they'll probably do well. And the blight won't affect them. But the biggest element we missed last year was sunny days. I mean, it rained almost every single day in July and August were overcast.
See, they were.
So the tomato plant, June was beautiful. And when the tomato plants came right up, and all the little green tomatoes appeared in July, and then it got overcast for 2 months. It was overcast and rainy, and all those tomatoes just blighted, and they all rotted right on the vines.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Incredibly sad. So I'm going to try. I'm going to put them in a pretty much a virgin bed this year.
Yeah. I have to grow the tomatoes indoors. They're bush tomatoes, and I grow them in the conservatory and keep them in there most of the time because it's just too cold.
Yeah, see, there you were. Yeah.
Well, that's why we can't plant until June, and it's usually done by the middle of September.
And
last year we had yellow squash and a couple of butternut squash until mid-October.
Oh, that's good.
And I had some peppers on a plant until mid-October, and then we had a bad frost one night, and they all died. They all turned black.
Then it's all over. Yeah, then it's an
I was trying to ride them out, hoping they'd get a little bigger, and they all died in one night.
Oh.
Yeah.
The frost was so bad. It was a sudden thing. You know, it was 2-3 weeks worth of beautiful, warm, sunny days, and I was nursing these peppers along, and then one night, boom.
All is gone,
cold as hell, and they all died. Yeah. They were all black the next morning. It was incredible how fast that happened.
Yeah, that's so fast. Yeah, that's
but I've been away from the gardening thing for quite some time, so there's a few things I have to relearn, I guess.
Yeah, in the hard way.
I would have thought it wouldn't have been so cold. I thought in New York you'd been fairly near the Gulf Stream.
No, we're up in the mountains. There's a whole
mountain. You're up in the mountains.
In between me and the, I'm 1,000 feet above sea level here. The Catskill Mountains are in between me and the Hudson River.
Oh, I didn't realize you were so high up.
Oh, yeah, we're 1,000 feet above sea level. We're up in the mountains.
Yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah,
the whole Catskill Mountains is just to my, it's very, very mountainous region just to my east, you know, where it's all high hills, 600, 800, 1,000 feet hills. In fact, there's a mountain across the street from me. Across the street from me, if you walk 1/4 mile west, you'll be 1,600 feet above sea level.
See?
That's where I take my own. There's a hill across the street that's 600 feet above the road that I live on. And I walk up that hill. I walk about my usual walking route is about I walk a mile south towards town. And actually I'm walking east, but it's a north-south highway, but this part of it turns east-west. I walk a mile south, and then I walk a quarter mile up the 600 feet to the top of that hill. And then I walk about 3 miles north, and then I walk down the hill, and then I walk home. It's one big circle, it's a good hike up the hill.
Pretty soon
I think Pooch is going to get some good walks.
Yeah, pretty soon I'll be dragging that puppy through it. I have. You'd love the pictures if you go to. I'll put it in the forum. It's my forum. It's a forum I started for my business, but I never get to spend any time on it. I don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put that in the forum.plymouthnewyork.net. That's my website. And I have a lot of pictures of my neighborhood in it. You'd probably love them.
Hey.
And say that again, Bill.
Forum, F-O-R-U-M, dot plymouthny.net.
Forum.
What was after the dot? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Oh, forum.plymouthny. For Plymouth, New York, plymouthny.net.
Yes. Oh, right, okay.
I just put it in the talk show forum.
Yeah, it's there now. I've seen it.
Okay. There's a lot of pictures of my neighborhood on that forum that I took.
Okay.
But I don't have the time to promote the forum or to make it's plymouthny.net is my website. And I put it there to promote my business, but I don't have time for it.
Yeah, it's mostly. Yeah, for business. Okay.
But there's a lot of really cool pictures. I took a couple of dozen pictures of my walking around my neighborhood and threw them up there. Because I had nothing else to put up there at the time. I don't have the time to collect the material. I got a few books to scan that I want to put on there and things like that.
That's good. That's long ago that I was in the Yuyo area, anyway.
Yeah, this is my neighborhood. I mean, all of this is within a mile of my house, 2 miles of my house.
Yeah, there you are.
It's a real nice neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm lacking the money, otherwise you would travel around.
You'll
but
see
there are some more people in the...
There's some pictures in here of a big old white farmhouse. Actually, my cousins live in that house.
Oh. Well, that's good. Yeah.
There's a picture, too.
There's pictures of a town with a church. That's the town that my walking route is right across the valley from. That's the town that's Norwich. That's the town I live near.
Norwich. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all English names. There's, New York was settled by a lot of Germans, but also by a lot of English. And
Dutchies.
And Dutch. And a lot of the places, if you go down south by the city, you'll find a lot of Dutch names. And in the Hudson River Valley, there's a lot of Dutch names. But there's also a lot of German names. Here in this part, there's a lot of English names. Most of the names.
Oh, yeah, there you are.
But if I go an hour north, most of the names are German.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, you have the Holland Tunnel, huh?
Yeah, right, the Holland Tunnel. But not actually where I grew up in Jersey City, there's a lot of old Dutch names.
True.
Van Nostrand and Bergen Avenue
Communal
Bar Avenue.
Right, and Brooklyn. Is Brooklyn? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Dutch names in Jersey across the water. Weehawken. across the water from New York.
That's right.
So how far are you from the city of New York?
Oh, I'm 4 hours from the city now.
Oh, that's a long way.
Oh, the further I get away from it, the happier I'll be. I spent too much time there.
Yeah.
In my youth.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
Because when people say New York, you think of the big city, don't you? Well, we do here.
Yeah, right. Well, it is a big city. I mean, it's an incredibly large city.
Yeah, I would say so.
Oops, I see somebody left some spam in my forum. I'm going to have to delete. I don't believe they do this dumb stuff. Elvis Presley ringtone ads.
That's long ago.
Well, this is I have a capture here, so I guess somebody actually sat here and added these in, but they're all getting deleted.
Yeah. Who was in here? Oh, that's that. Oh.
Okay, well, I'm going to wrap this up. I mean, we'll be back in 2 weeks. And two weeks after that, there's 5 Thursdays in April. And this is scheduled for the 1st and 3rd. But what I might do is invite you. Hopefully, I'll have that new server hooked up and we could try that.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
On that 5th Thursday. You know, and maybe even move this program. I mean, we'll see how it works out first, though.
And
well,
did you
I
say
know
there'll be a new system where you can use VoiceOver?
It'll all be VoIP, yes.
So we don't actually phone in then?
No, there'll be no more telephone involved. You'll have to download a small software program and install it.
Right.
But it'll all be VoIP.
Well, that will be great because that would accommodate Alan, wouldn't it, who can't really join us on these because of the cost of the phone calls.
Well, right, and Rudolph also, ex-con.
Yeah. Right.
It'll be a lot easier on them, and it'll be a lot more stable. People won't be thrown out. Yeah, you know, people are getting thrown out all the time, and I'll have full control over my intellectual property because the last European fellowship call I had to delete from TalkShoe because of a certain whiner.
Yeah, you mentioned
that claimed to TalkShoe that I was talking about him, and even though that it can't be established because it's only his avatar, right? But TalkShoe told me that basically I had to delete the program. That program is available for download at ChrisDeGhenia.org, though, where nobody can make me delete it. Once I switch to this new system, I will own the system. Nobody can make me do anything.
That's easy.
So,
that's easy.
That means I won't be able to be in contact with you because I'm only on the telephone.
Right, that's the pitfall, June. I'm sorry, I can't. You can't.
Hey,
everybody.
You have to get a computer, June.
We have to get June a netbook. June has to go. You could get a little laptop for $250. I mean, maybe 180 pounds. I know that might be sound like a lot, but it'll people rave about some of those netbooks.
And Chris will set it up for you as well, June.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a word with him.
What can we do about that further? Or she can call in for Chris.
You always ask Alan, go around to Alan.
I'm along the way from Alan.
I had a Skype conversation with Alan 2 days ago.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We hadn't talked for a while. I mean, he's a good guy. I like to talk to him. It'd be nice to have him.
Okay. Right.
He's a lot of input to make, so that would be good if he can join us.
Yeah, and his heart's almost it's always in the right place, and that's what matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's been upsetting the BIWF with their APLO on their Wikipedia thing.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah. I mean, they need to be upset about that. They're clowns. I mean, the things that they say not only fly in the face of science and reality, but they fly in the face of scripture.
Yeah.
You know, they deserve to be chastised for their beliefs, even though Wikipedia comes from the wrong angle. They deserve to be chastised for their beliefs because they're impossible. If they had if they were on the right side of scripture, they wouldn't be able, they'd be beyond reproach.
But
they have been pleading with Wikipedia to change their statement to suit theirs. And of course, they do have contact with Larger Dean.
Right, they'd be trading one lie for another, though. Which I don't know which lie is worse.
Well, they're misidentifying the enemy, so
yes,
that our people are totally confused.
Yes. Right.
And that is wrong. It's so evil, is that?
Well, anyway, I'll see you all in 2 weeks. It's been
a
pleasure. Sure, it's great to have
you. It's the 15th, then, huh?
Hmm?
It's the 15th.
The third Thursday, whenever it falls. Yeah, I guess it's the 15th. And I'll see you here. And by then, maybe we'll be ready to, on the 28th, to try the other thing out. 29th, to try the other thing out.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, let's do so.
That's what I'm shooting for anyway. I hope we could do it.
All right.
Praise
Yahweh. That'll be a real breakthrough.
I'll look forward to seeing you then.
Okay, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, all.
Bye.
Yahweh.
Okay, bye-bye. All blessings.
Bye.